Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, August 19th, 2022, Section A. Rain provides relief for drought-stricken city. Rain reports across Midland and Greenwood showed more than 1 inch of rain fell on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, while the National Weather Service reported 0.5 inch of at Midland International Airport. The Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network showed reports across Midland from 0.4 inch in West Midland to 1.73 inches in Northwest Midland, just south of Loop 250 and in between Midkiff and Garfield. Other reports inside Loop 250 showed 1.12 inches in West Midland and 1.16 and 1.25 in Central Midland and 1.40 inches in Greenwood. The site also reported 0.7 inch and 0.96 inch in Northeast Midland, and a separate report showed 1 inch in Greentree. The rainfall impacted Midland with typical flooding issues near draws, but also provided a little relief to a community whose rainfall was more than 6 inches below normal for that time of the year prior to the evening rain event. Overnight rainfall impacted some roadways around Midland's draw system. While around a half inch fell last night at Midland International Airport, that total was greater around areas inside the city. The rainfall forced the city of Midland to close several low water crossings. These include Lee Street and Tyler Street at Mulberry Draw. The Midland County Tax Office closed until further notice due to maintenance issues caused by the rain. Our facilities team is working to resolve the issue as soon as possible, the county reported. No further details were available. The City of Midland reported Thursday that the Midland Fire Department responded late Wednesday to a structure fire caused by a lightning strike. 12 MFD fire units were dispatched about 9 p.m. to the 3600 block of Oak Ridge in reference to a structure fire. Upon investigation, it is believed the fire started in the attic due to a lightning strike, according to a press release. The structure was a total loss. No injuries were reported. Low-income housing is hard to find. A report from the National Coalition shows that most housing in Midland costs more than the state and national average. The average two-bedroom rental home in the U.S. requires an hourly labor wage of at least $25.82 to afford, $18.57 higher than the federal minimum wage of $7.25, according to the National Low-Income Housing Coalition, which included only housing data from metropolitan areas. In Midland, two-bedroom housing requires an hourly wage of anywhere from $24.23 to $30.19, according to available data. Eastern Central Midland low-income housing requires the inhabitant to make an hourly wage of at least $24.23. Western Central housing on average costs $30.19. North Midland and Northwest Midland are similar at $28.27 and $28.46 respectively. Except for one zip code, Midland low-income housing is higher than the national average. The average in Texas is $22.54. Renters with the lowest income face the greatest challenge in finding affordable housing. The average minimum wage worker must work nearly 96 hours per week to afford a two-bedroom rental home, or 79 hours per week to afford a one-bedroom rental home at the average FMR. Retired teacher to run for MISD. Sarah Burleson will run for the District 6 seat on the Midland ISD School Board. Burleson is a retired Teacher of the Year at both Fannin and Carver Center. I've been involved with education from the day I arrived in Midland, teaching special ed, regular education, and the gifted and talented through my career, she wrote. Burleson filed to be on the November 8th ballot this week. She and Carrie McNeil are the only two people to have filed for the seat currently held by Rick Davis, who has stated he will not seek re-election. Monday is the last day a person can file to be on the November ballot. Burleson, a district-designated service provider, wrote that she wants to continue the focus of improving student outcomes, to equip teachers with the tools they need to do their job at the highest level, and to bring community support back into schools. I'm running because we need an educator on the board who knows firsthand what it is like to be in the classroom every day with children at all levels of learning. I understand the responsibility educators bear, the pressures they face, and the resources they need to effectively teach our community's students, helping them, alongside their parents, to grow to be our citizens of tomorrow. Burleson states in her bio she has been honored as the MISD Teacher of the Year and Region 18 Teacher of the Year, and that she's been involved in all aspects of the PTA, from committee chairs to president. She also stated the board also will be a good state steward of your tax dollars while at the same time providing for the future of Midland. She has lived in Midland for 41 years and has raised 4 children in the public schools. I'm running because I believe we can be an A district. The momentum to succeed is already in place, and as long as we focus on the future together, our community can grow to be proud of all of our public schools, confident that each student in Midland has the educational opportunities and support they need to succeed. Gas price down in Midland almost $1 in the last 2 months. The average price of gasoline in Midland has dropped nearly $1 in the last 2 months. From a record high of $4.52 set on June 11th, the price is down to $3.57. That 95-cent drop pales in comparison to the average across the state, $1.21, during the same time. Still, the price in Midland is dropping much like most of the state. This week, the price drop in Midland was 9 cents, one of the highest declines in the largest 27 metropolitan areas. The average across the state fell 3 cents. That means the difference in the average in Midland and across the state went from 17 cents to 11. In Odessa, the average price fell to 10 cents to 349, which is 3 cents behind the state average. AAA Texas stated in its weekly report that for the 9th consecutive week, the Texas statewide gas price average has fallen and that most retail pump price averages are still falling as crude oil continues to stay below $100 a barrel. With demand for gasoline stronger week to week and supplies tightening, drivers in some areas across Texas are seeing pump price averages increase. Across the state, drivers in Midland are paying the second highest average for gas, second only to College Station Bryan. Odessa's average is the fourth highest. Across the region, AAA Texas reports the following averages: $3.31 in Abilene, $3.36 in Lubbock, $3.38 in Amarillo, $3.38 in El Paso, and $3.40 in San Angelo. 1 year ago, Midland drivers were paying 57 cents less than the average this week. The state average is 62 cents less. Centers celebrates with 20th anniversary fundraiser. More than 400 people came together to raise money for Centers for Children and Families at its 20th anniversary Centers stage fundraiser on August 12th. The Havana Nights Gala included support from various corporations, foundations, and individuals in the area and raised more than $500,000, breaking a record for the annual event. The evening included a ceremony dedicated to honoring special friends and philanthropists in the Permian Basin. The honorary chairs, Donna and Bob Landreth, were honored as sustaining supporters of the organization and welcomed the guests to the special evening. Each year, 2 Founders Awards are given to outstanding individuals in the community. The 2022 recipients of the Mary Elizabeth Ibby Whitaker Hardy Award were Cindy and Homer Daniels. They were recognized for their exceptional philanthropy within the Permian Basin. The 2022 recipients of the Harriet Hurd Founders Award were both Jay Hendricks and Steve Taylor. Hendricks, the beloved KOSA news anchor, has emceed the center stage event for the past 20 years. Taylor, a well-renowned local auctioneer, has worked together with Jay in live auctions for countless nonprofit organizations throughout the basin. Each honoree has been transformational in their help, not to only the Centers for Children and Families, but to the community as a whole. In past years, the event centered around a speaker, This year, the organization center decided to take a different approach, recognizing that we are all a bit overwhelmed by news stories and world events. We decided to give people a space to celebrate a joyful moment with their friends and neighbors, said Melanie Says, Marketing and Development Director. The evening included a rare whiskey raffle, cork pulls, live auction entertainment by the Cowboy Auctioneers, and the high-energy Melange Band. Christy Edwards, CEO of Centers, shared her gratitude for the outpouring of giving. Our therapists and staff work diligently to provide quality mental health services to our community. We've been here for 57 years, and with the generous help of others, we will be here for 57 more. Midland man gets 60 years in prison in murder case. A 53-year-old Midland man charged with murder was sentenced Thursday to 60 years in prison, according to the Midland District Attorney Laura Nodoff. Samuel Sanchez Moreno was found guilty late Wednesday after less than an hour of deliberation by the jury. On Thursday, a Midland County jury then announced the verdict of 60 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. Moreno will not be eligible for parole until he has served at least 30 years of his sentence. According to the evidence presented, Moreno and the victim, Justin Zestovich, were involved in an ongoing dispute on November 9, 2020, over the ownership of a house when Moreno and two other individuals, identified as John Thomas Sepulveda and Brad Michael Beck, pulled the Zatovich from his home at 506 South Mineola in Midland. Zatovich was shot, stabbed multiple times, and left to die on the threshold of the home. Sepulveda was sentenced to 25 years in prison for his role after a guilty plea in September. Beck is still awaiting his trial, according to the release. The trial was held in the 385th District Court and presided over by Judge Leah Robertson. The case was prosecuted by Midland County Attorneys Lisa Borden and Ryan Hansen. MPD charged Odessa woman suspected of intoxication assault. A 29-year-old woman was arrested early Wednesday after her involvement in a wreck that seriously injured two people. Bianca Marie Machuca of Odessa was charged with two counts of intoxication assault with a vehicle causing serious bodily injury, a third-degree felony charge. On Wednesday at about 1:24 a.m., a Midland Police Department officer responded to Midland Memorial Hospital in reference to a major crash investigation. One of the involved parties showed signs of intoxication, while the others involved in the crash had sustained serious bodily injuries. During the investigation, it was determined that Machuca, driving a black Jeep Wrangler, was traveling northbound near the 900 block of South Big Spring. The victims were traveling westbound in a blue Jeep Wrangler near the 400 block of West Florida. As the victims approached the intersection of West Florida and South Big Spring and made a left turn to travel southbound on Big Spring, Machuca failed to stop at the red light at the intersection and collided with the driver's side of the blue Jeep. One of the passengers of the blue Jeep was ejected. The passengers of the blue Jeep were transported to MMH before one of the victims was transported to Lubbock because of the injuries. The second victim was placed in the intensive care unit. The victim sustained serious bodily injuries that included fractured scapulas, fractured ribs, major head and chest lacerations, a brain bleed, and a skull fracture. During her interview with MPD officers at MMH, Machuca showed several signs of intoxication. She told officers she had about four alcoholic drinks, but was not impaired. Machuca consented to provide a blood sample to test her alcohol level. Those test results are pending. Machuca was released on a $40,000 bond. The destination provides entertainment space. Rounding the back corner of the mixed dirt and gravel pathway, following the thrifted entrance signs posted on the large wooden fence framing the lot, I ran into Gloria and Thelma Salazar, pushing a refurbished cabinet on a dolly. Getting ready to host the Tall City Blues Fest on their day off, the sisters-in-law plopped the hefty yellow rectangle next to me in the sporadic rain. This will be one of our VIP bar liquor cabinets, Gloria tells me, before calling her brother Martin over from across the old lumber yard. At first glance, the Industrial Avenue location looks like leftovers from a trade day's event. Intriguing, but a little confusing. Yet once the barn-style front doors open, an eclectic antique oasis meets guests head-on. I was in the real estate business, and I had acquired this property about 7 or 8 years ago, Gloria explains. The previous owner worked for a construction company, but he took a fall and was not able to ever walk again. After surgery, he did, but he became an artist. He had this entire property and was selling it because he couldn't take care of it. At the time, I just thought it was a good investment. Hailing from El Paso, Martin, Gloria, and the rest of the family moved to Midland in 1981 for work during the oil boom. With the father always on the move, Martin said building, fixing, or improving became the norm, instilling perseverance and tight family ties in the duo at a young age. So when the time came to create a name that reflected the final point of their journey, the destination fit perfectly. To say the Salazar family works hard and would be a severe understatement. With the original overgrown and run-down lumberyard still standing from the 50s, the siblings tirelessly pulled weeds and tossed wood. 5 years' worth of cleaning, collecting, and building created the hidden gem, and now customers can see and feel the dwelling creative spirit throughout the open area. Divided into themed, garage-esque seating sections, items such as hubcaps and old car parts fill the frack rack garage, while lost and found hats from weekend shindigs hang from the rafters in the hat shop. An old headboard forms the chair in the working shoe shining section, and the little cabin equipped with a functioning fireplace sits across from the only beach in Midland. The tiki. Historical marker plaques accompany each area, explaining the building process and more. The main stage houses an upside-down hanging drum set and cornhole, a full bar, food trucks, and a stray rooster put the cherry on top. However, the path here proved challenging. After opening their doors in May of 2019, the destination only turned on the lights every third Thursday of the month. Then, with the pandemic in 2020, the hatches locked back up. After restrictions loosened in 2021, the Salazars welcomed Midlanders back into their vintage paradise, yet still faced first-year adversities. Nevertheless, Martin and Gloria stay hopeful and persistent in their dream. We have to remain flexible, because if something doesn't work, we have to try something new, Gloria said. It may not be overnight, and honestly, it may not be next year or the next, but people will find out about this place. There's something for everyone. Priding themselves on forging a comfortable, community-driven space for everyone who walks through the destination doors, Martin and Gloria established an array of weekly musical guests and genres. From the Tejano Destination Showcase to Open Mic Night, every Thursday provides guests with an exciting display, while Fridays and Saturdays host the bands. In the end, despite the visually pleasing aesthetic and design of the destination, the compassionate, enthusiastic, and welcoming attitude of the family make the venue a soft spot, where people want to spend their weekends with good friends and good times. It's important to us to give people, with the combination of the music and atmosphere, a great environment and experience more than anything. We're the janitors, we're the guys at the door, we're the security, but I love it. It's almost like an adrenaline. It keeps me going. It's entertainment. That's what we provide, and it's priceless. The destination season runs March through November. To find out more about when shows are happening, check out their website at thedestinationmidland.com. Gerald Thomas Wentworth passed away on July the 30th. The family will have a private memorial to honor him later. William H. Mac Hibbets passed away on August 13th. A visitation will be held 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, August 19th at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral service will take place 2:30 p.m. Saturday, August 20th at St. Nicholas Episcopal Church. Interment will be at 1 p.m. Monday, August 22nd at Fort Worth, Texas at Evergreen Memorial Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. James Elder Jr. passed away on August 16th. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home in Midland. Ron Lequar passed away on August 17th. Celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, August 23rd at Midland City's Community Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, August 19th, 2022. School year off to a fast start. With the school year well underway, Ector County ISD has had a chance to collect some data on students attending, meals served, bus ridership, and technical support, among other items. During his weekly media call Wednesday, Superintendent Scott Murray said, as of Tuesday, there are 32,712 students. The district is projecting 33,500 this year. In 2021-22, there were 32,031 students, 22,373 meals served, 4,306 help desk calls, 70 teacher vacancies, and 1,870 students riding the bus, according to a report given at the August 16th Board of Trustees meeting. Quote, "We've grown quite a bit from last year to this year. We anticipate that growth to continue," end quote, Murray said. ECISD typically peaks in mid-September, but the numbers will continue to change and, quote, "improve," end quote, every day, he added. The first day, 27,905 breakfasts and lunches were served. Murray said free breakfasts and lunches are provided to every student each day. The technology help desk received 2,436 calls or tickets on the first day. Murray said there were 58 teacher vacancies on the first day, which is, quote, "the best it's been in over a decade," end quote. He added that they are thrilled with the number of educators who have stayed with ECISD and more than 400 that have joined them this year. Buses transported 5,327 students on the first day of school. Quote, "That number has continued to rise as more and more of our students and families take advantage of our school system," end quote, Murray said. On a separate item, Murray said ECISD was excited to partner with Acceleration Academies of Ector County to target students 16 to 21 who have dropped out. Acceleration Academies held a ribbon cutting August 17th. Murray said Acceleration Academies provides, quote, "a very unique and customized learning experience," end quote, providing flexibility for students who need to finish their high school diploma. Quote, "We appreciate the partnership and know it will make a difference in the lives of students," end quote, Murray said. He added that Acceleration Academies is currently serving 170 students, many of whom were former ECISD students. Murray said that if you are a student or a former ECISD student, age 16 to 21 and not attending school, they are invited to participate in Acceleration Academies. Visit the ECISD website for more information and find out how you can enroll, he added. In Texas, you cannot drop out before age 16. Quote, "Acceleration Academies focuses totally and completely on students that have dropped out completely or potentially kids that are on the verge of dropping out of school," end quote, Murray said. Students will receive a diploma from the high school for which they were zoned, so if they were attending Odessa High School, they will get a diploma from OHS, for example. Quote, "This summer we had the first group of 16 graduates from the Acceleration Academies that walked with their class this summer during the summer graduation ceremony," end quote, Murray said. "A lot of the students' work is virtual. They have to be there a minimum of 20 hours with the teachers. But most of their content is using electronic format. So they may not be writing with paper pencil, but they are typing using their computing devices," end quote, Murray said. The Acceleration Academies in Odessa is the organization's first in Texas. Quote, "So they have no experience in Texas, but they have been very successful in other states, specifically Florida, which is where they started. They were very successful there at bringing students back into the fold," end quote, Murray said. He added that he thinks it's important to know that Acceleration Academies targets students who have already dropped out of school, so they were already lost to the district. Those students would not be able to earn a high school diploma unless they returned to school. Quote, "So every single student that Acceleration Academies brings back into the fold and then receives a high school diploma is a win. First of all, for that child and that family, because that high school diploma will open doors for them for the rest of their lives, and then certainly for the school system itself, that will help our individual schools and their graduation rate, end quote, Murray said. He added that a high school diploma is a, quote, ticket to much success in life, end quote. Event helps officer battling cancer. The burgers were practically flying off the grill Thursday afternoon as people gathered in support of Odessa Police Corporal Mike Troglin at Barn A at the Ector County Coliseum. Troglin, who is battling stage 4 melanoma, recently had tumors removed from his brain and is seeking additional treatment at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. On Thursday, the Professional Police Officers Association of Odessa and the Chuck Wagon Gang came together and held a fundraiser, dubbed, quote, Burgers for Mike, end quote. OPD Chief Mike Girk helped fill up to-go boxes, and first responders from Odessa and Midland donated to the cause. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths, County Commissioner Mike Gardner, County Judge-elect Dustin Fawcett, and City Council member Detra White were all spotted at the beginning of the three-hour event. Toy Troglin, who has been married to Troglin for 5 years, said their family is simply overwhelmed by everyone's efforts. Between the two of them, they have 4 children and 5 grandchildren. Quote, everybody's working hard. They're taking their time and raising money for Mike and the family. There's no words. I can say thank you, and I want to say it a million times. Thank you all. It's appreciated. All the donations, all the messages, all the cards, everything. We feel the love. Like I said, we feel your arms wrapped around us. We feel your arms around us, and we feel your prayers. It's amazing. I'm amazed. We are so grateful. We're so thankful, end quote, she said. James Wright and Saul Moda came with a large contingent of co-workers from Dale Meyer Trucking to give their support, despite not knowing Troglin. One of their bosses went to school with Troglin, and they were saddened to hear about his battle. In addition to the brain tumors, doctors have also discovered masses in one lung. Quote, we've got to stand behind our community, end quote, Wright said. A few rows over, a whole table of Odessa Parks and Recreation workers were enjoying the cheeseburgers. Quote, we just wanted to support him in his time of need, end quote, Carlos Galindo said. The city of Odessa often sponsors fundraisers for employees in need, Gabriel Franco said. Quote, it's outstanding, end quote, he said. Jessica Lara, another Parks employee, said she lost her dad to leukemia after a 20-year battle in February. Quote, I know what it's like and I wanted to support them, end quote, Lara said. Girk praised the PPOA and Chuck Wagon Gang for holding the event. Quote, Mike is a great guy who really cares about people, end quote, Girk said. Quote, he makes arrests, but he also carries around toys for whenever he sees kids. He's just a great guy, end quote. United Way of Odessa kicks off 2022 campaign. The United Way of Odessa kicked off its 2022 campaign for this year's fundraiser, with a ceremony Thursday at the Odessa College Salisbury Campus Amphitheater. Founded in 1951, the United Way of Odessa supports local programs that impact the lives of 1 in every 3 Odessans. Currently, United Way of Odessa partners with 16 local partner agencies and 21 programs providing services in health, education, and self-sufficiency. Quote, we fundraise from August through the end of the year, end quote, Executive Director of the United Way of Odessa, Christina Escobar, said after the ceremony. Quote, we go out to businesses, any business that allows us to come in and talk to their employees. That's how we raise 40% of our revenue to support local nonprofits. Those are the nonprofits that we're all familiar with that provides social services. Those programs being from the Boys and Girls Club or Catholic Charities, they're seeing those clients on a daily basis, providing much needed service, but we're in the background providing them with support to be able to continue their services, end quote. The United Way also provides additional funding through venture grants to United Way of Odessa. This year's theme is, quote, come set sail, end quote. The United Way of Odessa service region currently encompasses 9 counties. Quote, we reach all the way into Culberson County, which is pretty much Van Horn, and it extends south to Brewster County, end quote, Escobar said. Quote, it's a very broad area where we provide service to clients in need, end quote. This year's guest speaker was Odessa businessman Austin Keith. Quote, it's a beautiful West Texas morning, and it's great to see everyone here at Odessa College this morning, end quote, Keith said during the ceremony. Quote, I also want to give some recognition to Odessa College for allowing us to have this kickoff campaign here, end quote. During his speech, Keith shared a few items, including the mission of the United Way of Odessa. Quote, it improves the lives by mobilizing and caring and empowering our community to advance the common good in areas of both education and health and self-sufficiency, end quote, Keith said. Quote, there are 16 agencies and vital social services that they provide, end quote. Keith also talked about how the Permian Basin has been affected by the pandemic these last 2 years. Quote, we in the Permian Basin have been affected by a perfect COVID storm, end quote, Keith said. Quote, but you know what? We're going to come out of it. We're going to be stronger for what we do for coming out of it. One thing about it, during that time, the United Way was there for our agencies. I know we had some monetary issues, and the United Way stepped up, end quote. Dewey Bryant, who is this year's campaign chairman, also spoke during the ceremony, quoting former college football head coach Lou Holtz. Quote, Lou Holtz had exactly in mind this team at United Way when he said, remember, every day, some ordinary person does something extraordinary, end quote, Bryant said. Quote, today it's our turn, end quote. The goal for this year's fundraiser is to raise $1,500,000. Quote, leaders throughout Odessa are working hard within their industries to help make sure we reach this goal, end quote, Bryant said. During the ceremony, a few check presentations were made, including a $10,000 check from HEB, a $2,000 check from Atmos Energy, and $3,000 from First Financial Bank. Quote, our community is very supportive, end quote, Escobar said. Quote, they help us achieve that mission. We need our community to allow us to achieve our workplace campaigns. Let us come in, let us talk, let us come in and talk to employees and garner some donations. That is how we raise the majority of our revenue, by saying, here's $5 out of my payroll, here's $10. It goes a long way. Let us come in, we are making calls, call us and we can come in and achieve that, end quote. To learn more about the campaign, go to tinyurl.com/3mb8usn2. HEB to host one-day career fair at stores across Texas. From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesday, HEB, the state's largest private employer, will host a one-day hiring event geared to help fill full and part-time positions at the store level. HEB will provide on-site interviews at career fairs held at every HEB, Central Market, and Mi Tienda store in Texas. Stores will hold a career fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesday. Candidates who attend will receive on-site interviews only for open positions at the store they visit. An online application must be submitted before interviews are conducted. To expedite their experience, candidates are encouraged to complete an application before attending. Applications and details about open positions can be found at careers.heb.com/careerfair. For interviews, translators, and disability accommodations will be available upon request. These in-store career fairs will focus on hiring for all store hourly roles, such as curbside, checkers, produce and deli representatives, artisan bakers, kitchen production, cooks, meat cutters, overnight stockers, store sanitation, True Texas BBQ restaurants, and more. While roles such as checker and in-store shoppers will start at $15 per hour, starting pay for specific roles are listed in their respective job descriptions, which can be found on the HEB Careers site. A person must be 16 years or older to apply for customer service associate, checker, curbie, and curbside in-store shopper opportunities. Other store positions have a minimum age requirement of 18 years old. More rain on the way in Permian Basin. Permian Basin residents who enjoy rainy weather and cooler temperatures are in for a treat for the next week, according to the National Weather Service. Quote, we've kind of switched to an active rain pattern, and we'll have a decent chance of precipitation across most of the Permian Basin, including Odessa, end quote, said Matt Salerno, a meteorologist with the NWS in Midland. There's a 50% chance of rain predicted for today, and while there's a smaller chance Saturday, the odds will improve again Sunday through Tuesday, Salerno said. He noted the chances of rain will range from 50 to 60% those days. Quote, that's good news for us, end quote, Salerno said. Quote, any rainfall we see will cut into the deficits we have, end quote. Although Midland International Airport recorded 0.54 inches of rain Wednesday night into Thursday morning, we're still 5.75 inches below where we should be, Salerno said. So far this year, the airport's received 2.79 inches. We can expect to see temperatures in the mid-80s next week, a full 10 degrees cooler than normal, Salerno said. Overnight lows will be in the low 70s. Salerno said, unfortunately, the area typically doesn't start to cool down until late September or early October, so we will probably see more 90-degree days. Commissioners confirm election juvenile probation budget. The Ector County Commissioners Court held a special meeting on Thursday where they approved plans for the November election and the budget for the Ector County Youth Center. Three agenda items were unanimously approved by the Commissioners Court at the Ector County Administration Building Annex, located in room 120 at 1010 East 8th Street in Odessa. Kevin Mann spoke to the commissioners about his proposal that would have given all staff, with the exception of receptionist, secretary, administrative assistant, and nurse, a two-step raise instead of the 4% raise and a one-time cost of living adjustment check, plus the ability to hire three additional staff members. The commissioners discussed their request, and the two-step raise was ultimately denied by the court. The commissioners approved the hiring of three additional staff members. All departments throughout the county will receive a 4% raise and the COLA check. Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes said it was important for the court to stay consistent. Quote, one thing that we wanted to do as a court was be consistent with other department heads and other elected officials countywide, end quote, she said. Quote, that's what the court adopted today, end quote. The commissioners approved the proposed juvenile probation department budget, which included Mann being able to hire three additional staff members. Mann said there are currently 19 staff members. Mann said the three hires will be direct care detention staff. He said that will take a burden off current employees who are working 6 days a week. Mann said the additional staff will allow current employees to have 2 days off per week. Quote, it gives us a cushion if we ever have staff leave or resign or whatever it is, end quote, Mann said. Quote, there is still COVID out there, so if staff members are sick and they can't come to work, we have that cushion as well. We are pulling staff into different sections. Our intake unit does field services like court summons and all visits. We aren't able to do field services right now because those staff are needed on the floor. These three coming in will free up those field service staff to get back on the community and check on kids, end quote. Hayes said she knew how critical it was for the youth center to be able to hire additional staff. Quote, I know their current staff is overworked, end quote, she said. Quote, this will help free up staff so they aren't having to work more than 8 hours a shift, end quote. Mann said as of Thursday afternoon, the youth center had 9 juveniles. He said that number is usually low during the summer, but he said once the calendar nears October, more juveniles will be at the youth center. He said there are also 6 juveniles out on post-adjudication to other facilities throughout the state. The court also approved the amended joint election resolution for the general election, the City of Odessa and the Ector County Utility District election to be held November 8, 2022, and possibly a runoff election for the City of Odessa to be held in December 2022 to be contracted with Ector County Election Administrator. Approved amended legal notice of general, the City of Odessa, and the Ector County Utility District election, amended Ector County early voting schedule, and amended Election Day voting centers. Approved the proposed 2022-2023 budget for the Juvenile Probation Department. Texas officials support repeal of sales tax on feminine hygiene products. Texas Comptroller Glenn Hager announced on Thursday that he has joined with State Senator Joan Huffman, Senate Committee on Finance Chairwoman, to exempt feminine hygiene products from state and local sales tax. The effort will require new legislation and would likely not be finalized until the 2023 legislative session. Hager and Huffman voiced strong support for the initiative. Quote, as chair of Senate Finance, I am proud to make this effort one of my priorities, end quote, Huffman stated in the press release. Quote, every woman knows that these products are not optional. They are essential to our health and well-being and should be tax-exempt, end quote. Quote, taxing these products is archaic, and it is time for Texas to join the 24 states that already exempt tampons and other feminine hygiene products from sales tax, end quote, Hager stated in the press release. Quote, our economy and state revenues are strong, and Texans are grappling with inflation and challenging price increases on everyday goods. These circumstances provide a tremendous opportunity to rectify this issue and exempt these products that represent a critical need for Texas women. I want to thank Senator Huffman for her leadership and for taking bold and decisive action for the women of Texas, end quote. Any legislation to create this exemption must still clear several hurdles in the Texas legislature before heading to Governor Greg Abbott for his consideration. Quote, this is the right thing to do for Texas women, end quote, Huffman stated in the press release. Quote, I thank Comptroller Hager for working with me on this effort and look forward to working with him and my legislative colleagues to ensure we craft legislation that garners broad support, end quote. The Comptroller's office estimates that sales tax on feminine hygiene products will generate about $28.6 million annually during the next biennium. Hager released his latest revenue estimate for the current biennium in mid-July, projecting an ending balance for the biennium of $27 billion. Quote, Texas can absorb this lost revenue easily. But for countless Texas women, this will mean significant savings in their personal budgets over time, end quote, Hager stated in the press release. Quote, this is a small amount of money relative to the overall revenue outlook for Texas, end quote. Local news roundup. Man sentenced on evading arrest with a vehicle charge. A 39-year-old man was sentenced to 2 years in prison Wednesday after finding him guilty of evading arrest with a vehicle. According to the Ector County District Attorney's Office and online court records, Apolinar Vasquez Sacido fled from an Odessa Police Department officer who was trying to arrest him on a driving while intoxicated charge on March 6, 2021. He was indicted on the evading charge May 17, 2021, and his misdemeanor DWI case was placed on hold until his DWI case could be resolved. Midland home destroyed in fire. A Midland home was destroyed in a lightning-caused fire Wednesday night, but no one was injured. According to the City of Midland, firefighters were dispatched to the 3600 block of Oak Ridge around 9 p.m. about a structure fire. 12 units responded. Permian Basin MPO to hold final town halls. The Permian Basin Metropolitan Planning Organization is conducting its final town halls to receive input on potential corridors that provide opportunity for better connectivity within the Permian Basin region. The town halls are scheduled for 12:15 p.m. Tuesday in Odessa and 6 p.m. Tuesday in Midland. Odessa's town hall will take place in the Joe Zant Community Room, located in the Salisbury Campus Center building at Odessa College. Lunch will be provided. The Midland town hall will take place at the Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland, located at 1311 East Wadley Avenue. During the town halls, the Permian Basin MPO will be presenting and discussing results of the screening and analysis process and next steps for completing the planning and environmental linkage study. Dallas author shows importance of bees in new children's book. A new book is hoping to educate children on how important honeybees are to this world. Beekeeper and conservationist Justin Weiss brings the ABCs of honeybees to life for the next generation of environmentalists in his new children's book titled Bee is for Beekeeping, an Alphabet Book. Weiss, who is a Dallas suburban beekeeper, aims to inspire children about the importance of bees with his new book. Quote, did you know one-third of the food we eat gets pollinated by honeybees? End quote, asked Weiss in a press release on Monday. Weiss started beekeeping a few years ago on a whim. Quote, while at first I was afraid of handling honeybees, it turns out having thousands of them buzzing around is quite therapeutic. This hobby has lifted my spirits when I've most needed it, and I've enjoyed sharing it with my friends and family, end quote. In Bee is for Beekeeping, Weiss uses each letter of the alphabet to teach a beekeeping term and idea, and each new fact is brought to life by a bright, playful illustration. The book intends to encourage children to explore the world around them and to respect some of the, quote, smallest but mightiest creatures, end quote. Born and raised in California, Weiss currently lives outside of Dallas on a small suburban homestead. He and his wife have a garden, keep bees, raise quail and chickens, and have an orange cat named Leo. He is fluent in Spanish, having also lived in Chile, Easter Island, and Spain. Weiss serves his community as the assistant city manager and also as a board member of the local school district's education foundation. A portion of all the sales of his book will be donated to organizations such as Pollinator Partnership, the Bee Conservancy, and Project Apis M. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/56xxtbfn. Marfa Lights Festival returns for milestone year. The city of Marfa has long been known for its famous Marfa Lights, and in a few weeks, the biggest festival of the year returns for its 35th anniversary. This year's Marfa Lights Festival will run from September 2nd through 4th at the Presidio County Courthouse in Marfa. In a town that's already well known for its thriving art community, the weekend-long festival that attracts hundreds of tourists each year will feature many entertainment acts as well as food and business vendors. All events are free and open to everyone. This year's milestone celebration inspired Director of Tourism and Marfa Chamber of Commerce President, Abby Boyd, to look back and research the history of the festival. Quote, every year is special, but this year I spent a little time looking through some archives to see how and why this festival originated, and how much it's changed over the years, and how much it's stayed the same over the years, end quote, Boyd said. What she found out was that the Marfa Lights Festival has mostly stayed the same. Quote, it was originated to bring entertainment to Marfa locals, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, back then, Marfa was a really small town, even smaller than today. Tourism wasn't as big as it is today. Certain bands weren't coming to town. So this kind of served to bring talent to Marfans and also be an opportunity for people who are from Marfa who moved away to come back home and spend some time back in Marfa. That's the same purpose it serves today, end quote. While the event helps bring in tourists and bands, it still very much remains a big part of the local community. Quote, we still see family reunions happening around the courthouse over Marfa Lights weekend, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, it's part of our largely Hispanic local audience who are kind of underserved in the community. Today, Marfa has a lot more going on with the community. A lot of that entertainment is geared towards people who have moved here recently or visitors to Marfa. It's a reason to come to Marfa. Marfa Lights is still very much for the long-term generation Marfa audience, end quote. Boyd continued to talk about how the chamber has looked at that connection to the community, inviting local bands and performers to take part. Quote, we've invited a lot of local musicians and we've invited our local theater, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, they're putting on an original play. Our Zumba teacher is going to do a Zumba class Sunday morning, so we're doing a little more reaching out to the community this year and hoping to bring that tradition back, end quote. Live music will begin in the evening of September 2nd with sets by Marfa Products, Primo E. Bibi, and Hector Iusu Grumpo Ambicion. The night will culminate with a performance by Midland's Destino Band. Quote, we're excited to have the Destino Band come here, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, they've been around for a long time. I'm really excited to see them, end quote. On September 3rd, the events begin with a parade through downtown Marfa, led by Grand Marshal Joanne Rodriguez Betancourt, Jumano Nation of Texas Tribal Chair. Marfa is the traditional ancestral unceded territory of the Jumano Nation, Lipan Apache and Mescalero Apache, past and present. Entertainment will continue after the parade with a performance by Presidio's Mariachi Santa Cruz. Quote, Santa Cruz has a lot of talent, and we like to showcase what Marfa has to offer, end quote, Boyd said. Later, Marfa Live Arts will present an original play set in 1920s Marfa called, quote, Juice Joint Criminals, end quote, written for the occasion by Sul Ross State University student Caitlin Almanz. In the evening, the music will continue with Marfa's own Grand Tourists and La Reinas de la Noche and Alpine's Puro Party All-Stars. Quote, we have a lot of local acts, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, the Grand Tourists played here last year and were a big hit. A Marfa staple is Primo E. Bibi. They play around Marfa all the time and they're well-liked. If there's a party, Primo E. Bibi will be there, end quote. On Saturday night, the day will cap off with a performance by the weekend's headliners, Eric Isu Grupo Mesor of San Antonio. Quote, that's a younger group, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, it's really high energy, really fun music. Marfa Lights is really about dancing in the streets, and we picked that group because we felt like they would get people up and dancing, and I think they're going to be a lot of fun, end quote. Some of the groups performing are relatively new, while others have been playing longer. Quote, Hector Isu Grupo Ambicion is performing for the first time, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, then other groups like Puro Party All-Stars is from Alpine, has been around for a while and has done a ton of shows. It's going to be a wide variety of entertainment, end quote. September 4th will be Family Day and kickoff with Zumba at the courthouse led by Elizabeth Gutierrez of Marfa, Jessica Carrasco Meter of San Antonio, Presidio's Angela Deval, and Alpine's Keila Vargas. Activities will continue throughout the day, including a youth DJ workshop hosted by Ballroom Marfa and visiting musician Orion Garcia. Marfa ISD's Ballet Folklorico will be the weekend's final performers at the County Courthouse. Ballroom Marfa will close out Marfa Lights Festival weekend with the West Texas premiere of MXTX, a cross-border exchange at the USO Hall, a collaboration of 10 musicians from across Texas and Mexico. One thing that stands out from the festival, Boyd says, is that it shows visitors a different side of Marfa, as the festival also showcases the community's past. Quote, sometimes people have a one-sided view of Marfa, that it's a really neat art modernist town that's great to take photos, but they don't know the rich history, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, they don't know about our cultural history here, which is related to the Texas-Mexico border. They don't know about the types of people who live here in Marfa, and I don't know if they realize that we're just a small town that has a lot of interesting things for visitors to check out. This gives people a chance to see Marfa as a real town, a place with real people. I think with these places, especially in Texas, these small towns are becoming more and more rare. They're getting swallowed up by cities, but Marfa remains roughly the same size as it was when this festival started, and it still has the same feel. You're stepping into our world when you come to see Marfa Lights, end quote. The Marfa Chamber of Commerce is accepting applications for vendors and parade participants. For more information, visit the Chamber's website at tinyurl.com/3ZA3PP9Y. Quote, I hope that everybody who's interested comes and checks it out. It's a really good time, end quote, Boyd said. Quote, it's a family-friendly atmosphere. There's good food and lots to do. If people have been to Marfa Lights before, they know what to expect. But anyone who hasn't, this is a great opportunity to check it out, end quote. Martin returns to the Permian Basin. Comedian William Lee Martin has the look of a fifth-generation Texan. And he has the stories and comedy acts to show it. Donning his cowboy hat, blue jeans, and a belt buckle, the cowboy entertainer who grew up in Blue Mound, outside of Fort Worth, loves to grace the stage and make audiences laugh. He'll be bringing his show to Odessa with a 7:30 performance Saturday at Ector Theater. It'll be his first trip back to the Permian Basin in at least 10 years. Quote, it's been a long time, end quote, Martin said in a phone interview. Quote, for a long time they didn't have a mid-size venue. They either had a big venue or a barn setting. It's been about 10 years since I've been in Midland, Odessa, end quote. For the last 26 years, Martin has traveled all over, doing his comedy show, which includes specials from CMT and Amazon Prime. After graduating from college at the University of Texas, Arlington, Martin worked in advertising where he, quote, hated every minute of it, end quote. Quote, I don't know if it was just that I grew up in rural Texas and now was in a cubicle or whatever it was, but I hated the job, end quote, Martin said. Quote, I used to look out the fourth floor window and think, will a fourth floor jump kill me or just break my leg, end quote. Then one day, Martin and the rest of his coworkers found themselves unemployed. Quote, everybody lost their jobs, end quote, Martin said. Quote, we got sold to another company, end quote. Unsure of what to do, he said it was his grandmother who gave him some advice. Quote, she said, go home and look in the mirror and ask yourself if you're happy because you're almost 30 and I've never seen you smile, end quote, Martin said. Except, Martin says that's not what he did right away. Quote, I went home and got in a fetal position for 5.5 months, end quote, Martin said. Quote, it would have been 6, but unemployment ran out in 5.5 months back then, end quote. Eventually, he did come home one day and followed his grandmother's advice. Quote, I was 30 and had a conversation with God that day and called my grandma and said since I was 5 years old, I wanted to be on stage and television, and she said, go for it, end quote, Martin said. He hasn't looked back since. He got on stage for the first time in May 1996, and since then, his career has taken off. By the mid-2000s, he was opening shows for country singers Loretta Lynn and George Strait. Martin credits his wife, Michelle Martin, for helping him with his tour. Quote, she's a corporate trainer, end quote, William said. Quote, she's a big part of what I do. She's one of the greatest sounding boards. She never laughs at the act, and when I throw new bits at her, if she says it's funny, then I know it's funny. She's the wife of a comedian, so she's heard comedy more than most. But she has a great ear for it, so when she says that's funny, I know it's going to work, end quote. This week's show will be a part of his, quote, Hog Wild Comedy Tour, end quote, a name he's changed a few times in the past year. Last year, his tour was called the, quote, All-American Mutt Tour, end quote, which was based on a DNA test result that he received during the early stages of the pandemic. Quote, 2 years ago, when we got back on tour, I had to take a DNA test, and I found out that I was nothing more than a mutt, end quote, Martin said. Quote, there are 14 different countries flowing in my body, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go on the All-American Mutt Tour. And with the world all divided, I wanted to unite everybody. Nobody wants to admit they're a mutt, end quote. He also said it was going to be, quote, clean, end quote, but only by his standards of the word. Quote, a few years ago, I had a CMT special come out, and I'm not saying I cussed a lot, but we used a beep, and they bleeped it because it was CMT. At one point, it sounded like the telegraph work on the Titanic with all the beeps. I rarely cuss in the shows now, but I said it was going to be clean, and then I realized I still wanted to say stuff, so I still wanted it to be adult without cussing, end quote. He then went with, quote, off the leash, end quote, as a tour name. Quote, and then with everything going on in the world, I realized that at some point that I don't have a good acronym, end quote, Martin said. Quote, everyone has a good acronym, end quote. That's when he came up with, quote, HOG report, end quote. Quote, HOG actually stands for heterosexual average white guy, and that's me, end quote, Martin said. I talk about life. We don't talk about politics on stage. We just want to make people laugh for an hour and a half. We're going through a hell of a time in our country and world right now. And if there's one thing the pandemic taught me, it's to get out and make as many people laugh as possible, end quote. It wasn't until recently when his popularity rose even more with his hit specials in 2019 with, quote, Standing in the Middle, end quote, and, quote, The Nutcracker, a Christmas stand-up spectacular, end quote. But then came the COVID pandemic, which forced him, like every other comedian, to cancel shows. Quote, we self-financed the 2019 specials, end quote, Martin said. Quote, the hardest thing probably was getting out and tour when you put out these things, and they both came out at the end of 2019, and then the world shut down in 2020. We just stayed in faith the whole time that everything was going to work out, end quote. However, the success of, quote, Standing in the Middle, end quote, and, quote, The Nutcracker, a Christmas stand-up spectacular, end quote, helped him gain more fans. Both specials were picked up by Comedy Dynamics and placed on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, and other streaming platforms. Quote, as it turned out, Amazon Prime picked them both up and really put us on the map in the country and parts of the world, end quote, Martin said. Quote, I'm getting emails and replies from places like Australia and France and Germany and Spain. I don't know how they feel about Americans, but they do love Texans, end quote. Martin has seen the number of his followers on social media grow. Quote, thankfully, during the pandemic, we grew the numbers social media-wise, end quote, Martin said. Quote, we started out with about 40,000 followers on Facebook in January of 2020, and because of the lockdown and getting on Facebook Live, but we have like 500,000 followers now, end quote. The news was made even sweeter when he was able to return to the stage and perform in front of an audience. Quote, you know, the first time that I did a show after lockdown, someone asked me if I was ready for the show because it was 120 days since I did a show, the longest stretch that I've gone in my 26-year career, end quote, Martin said. Quote, someone asked me if I was all prepared. I was like, no, it's like college algebra. I waited until the last minute and crammed it all in an hour the night before. But as soon as I hit the boards, it was a completely different feeling. When something's taken away from you that you absolutely love and it's your passion, and then, through no fault of your own, you can't do it for 120 days, it was like going from earth to heaven. I was in my element, end quote. Martin said he learned a few lessons from that stretch during lockdown. Quote, coming out of that thing, it taught me a whole lot of lessons, that I'm going to go for everything that I possibly have in my arsenal, with songwriting and screenwriting and acting, and that's what we've done since lockdown ended, end quote, Martin said. For more information about the show, go to tinyurl.com/MryN5XBB.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.